Welcome to the Mystic Chat Solstice Edition, Yule Edition, Christmas, whatever. My name is Chris Allen. I am a published author, a minister with the Fellowship of the Phoenix, and I would like to introduce one of my co-hosts, Laura Gonzalez.
Hello, everybody. My name is Laura Gonzalez. I can now say I'm a Polish author. What? And thank you. I'm a witch for hire. Pew-pew. A minister. I am a dog mom and a snake mom and a tortoise mom and a Krampus enthusiast and a podcaster. And that's about what I have today. And I am also a friend, and these two are my besties. And so I want to say hi to my other bestie, Frater Aaron. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. I'm Frater Aaron. I'm a magician in a armchair, and I'm a mentor with the Fellowship of the Phoenix, practicing witch and pastry chef, and also a wide podcaster, up-and-coming podcaster.
That's funny. As
like every white man in his middle ages.
Right? Have you noticed that, though? Have you noticed that?
I have things to say.
Everyone wants to be, you know, a superstar. Everyone's trying to be famous or whatever. And, you know, some people are good at it. And some people, I'm just like, okay. Not that I'm judging, but kind of. So on today's show, you know, I'm calling it Solstice, the Crossroads of Time. And the reason I call it that is because, you know, at the winter solstice, we're in between the old solar year and the brand new solar year. And, you know, a lot of people think of Yule as, oh, the return of the sun, Christmas, blah, 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 the darkest night. But they forget a little bit of the deeper mysteries of the crossroads. You know, we're in a luminal space and in between space. And so magic happens. However, you know, this is a good time to do spells and ritual and honor the ancestor and the elves and things like that. But I'm tired. Like, I'm over here, like, it's 3 o'clock in Chicago and it's dark and I just don't have the energy. So, you know, I'm trying to, like, even this show, I'm just like, oh, I'm excited. Like, my head's excited, but my body's like, no, I want to just sleep and do those things. So as we talk about the crossroads, Aaron, what are your, do you have any like magical things you like to do for yourself at this time? Or what does solstice mean for you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this is, I'm still getting used to being in the South during the solstice. So, but here in Texas, I'm like in a totally different state. So because people will ask me, it gets cold there too, though, right? And I said, not really. Like what happens is for most of the year, it's like, oh God, it's hot, you know, and I don't want to be outside. I don't want to do anything. It's too hot. And then this time of the year is like, oh, this is like normal weather. You can go outside and do things, you know? So like I go to the park, you know, and I go whatever, you know, like I just try to find excuses to be outside actually right now. It rains. But yeah, you know, so now it's green and there are leaves on the ground because a lot of the trees just dropped their leaves. So you get a little bit of that autumn feeling and then yeah, with the leaves and the rain. But other than that, I mean, it's like anywhere between 40 to 70 any day, you know, which is pretty fine. So sometimes more higher than that, actually. But it's this time of year, I'd say for me, usually it's hard to focus on in-depth magic because everything is going on. So you have like the work Christmas parties and the family Christmas parties and all of those things going on. So even though I have in my mind other energetic aspects of the season, you know, like the December for me is pretty hard to find extended time alone.
Laura, what about you? What are some magical things or fun things you do for solstice?
You know, thank you for leaving me last on this question, because I was reflecting that I don't do much. And I do. So it's kind of like a mixed bag. Excuse me, please. I hate doing that on camera.
Oh my God, you're human. How dare you?
It's just, it irks me. Because I'm a witch for hire, right? And this is not a Laura infomercial, but you know, I sell my candles and I sell my art and whatnot. And this time of the year, I'm very busy because I'm making the candle. I don't make the candles, I bless the candles. So I'm usually immersed in blessing the candles. I sell a whole lot. Thank you, Goddess. The people buy my stuff. So I'm usually very busy, immersed on creating magical items for my clients, for myself, obviously, for a few friends. And I feel that since I'm a working witch, I'm always ahead. I'm always thinking, like I'm already thinking about
in bulk.
And I'm not even that. I'm already thinking about love and Valentine's Day. And you know, you have to be a step ahead to do specials and to do stuff. So it feels like it was about a month and a half ago when I was creating stuff for December. So it's a weird feeling because I'm always thinking ahead. And
what's nice is you're bringing up things that we'll probably touch back on too, though, because like with all that work on the candle, like the Festival of Lights and the idea of how, you know, candle and fire magic being so important. And then even thinking about next year, how we're coming up to the time where we start either doing divinatory work or just goal setting for next year.
Exactly. But the thing is, for me, it feels like I'm so ahead. Like I'm always someone that's ahead. Yeah. Which in my personal practice is kind of like, you know, because it's like, it keeps me from my very own celebrations. However, it's very cool, you know, to be doing stuff for my clients. So I like it. And in that note, this year, I'm actually doing stuff, which is nice. I'm making tamales with one of my friends. And we decided that we were going to do it on a Wednesday. And then when we both look at, she's a witch as well. So when we look at the calendar, we were both like, oh, it's solstice. So we just so happened to be making tamales for solstice. So how Mexican can get more
that's
Mexican?
That's awesome.
And of course, you know, we're going to be making these things and we're both witches, you know, and my husband has no choice but to be around witches. So I think it's going to be like a very witchy solstice tamale session, which ties up with in bulk as well. And I'm doing some celebrations. There's some birthdays in the family. So there's going to be actually birthday celebrations. And my husband and I have decided, I'm usually miserable on Christmas Eve because I grew up in a country where Christmas Eve is the day you celebrate and it's a party. So this year my husband surprised me and we're going to go out for dinner.
Oh,
so it's gonna be pretty cool because we're gonna be dressed up to our best, you know, out and about. So it's cool. I'm more into the rituals of New Year, and that I do observe a lot, but I don't want to talk about that yet. I want to hold on a little bit.
Chris, knowing you, I know that this can be a very magical time for you and that you like the spirits of the season and working with snow and things like that. So, what do you do magically during the winter?
So, how long ago was that? I want to say like 14, 50 years ago. 50 years ago. So Aaron and I, in the fellowship, we had a winter retreat, and you know, everyone was like, everything's gone and dead and cold. I was like, no, there's like winter spirits. So we're out in the forest. I mean, it was like an indoor retreat, but I took people out in the snow. And remember how cold it was? We're like, oh, we call to you, spirits of winter. And we're all brr. Remember? One of my friends, Anna Applegate, if you don't follow her, friend her, because she is an amazing astrologist. And she was talking about how, like, can I forget exactly, but it's something like Uranus and Mars are conjunct in such a way that a lot of people feel like they're in between things, they're stuck at a crossroads, or that liminal place. And so, and for myself, I totally feel that way. I'm in a graduate program, and so I'm in between the fall semester and spring semester, and I'm so used to doing things. I'm like, I have a break. What do? I'm at a crossroads. So I've noticed that there's a lot of people who are feeling in between things, like they're not sure what to do, they're not sure their next step. The other thing I noticed is a lot of us are in a routine, and what I mean by that is we're doing the same things year after year after year after year, which is fine because it is what it is, but are we evolving? Are we going deeper in our practices, or are we having new insights and new friends and connections? And so, you know, one of the things that in my own circle, I keep trying to inspire people to do, but I don't know if people do it, is like, you don't have to come to circle to be with our spirits. So like one of the things that I love to on my own is at this time of year, I'll light the altar, my sacred space or my sting or whatever. I'll light the incense, and then I'll just do some shamanic journeying with the ancestors and spirits and leave offerings. And, you know, one of the things that I really like about traditional witchcraft, shamanic witchcraft, is that you can, like, fly to the Sabbath. And what I mean by that is that you can light your candles, light your incense, give your offerings, close your eyes, and the astral project, or imagine yourself flying to meet other pagans and witches at the Sabbath. You know, I've gotten some good results with that. I've forgotten some interesting results with that. Another thing I've done is I've just talked to, you know, for me, this is the time of the Horned One, of, you know, Father of Winter and things like that. And so I'll do a journey with him and just share space and share energies and things like that. However, you know, a lot of my friends who are pagans are like, oh, well, return to light, return to the light, and I'm over here like, well, let's go in the dark, let's shut ourselves in the darkness. So you know, but all that only takes what, half an hour. You can do all your celebrations like that. What else, Aaron?
That you're talking about the dark, you know, there was a thought I had too, because I remember you had a similar episode last year, both for Solstice and New Year, mm-hmm. And talked a lot about the celebrations of the mother, and then of course the light being reborn. And so then I thought we could talk about some other things going on this season besides the idea of the sun and the light being reborn, right?
Yes, please.
Are you raising your hand to jump in, Laura?
Looking at my light.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So if we start, you know, if we start like at the earth level, there's nature, which, you know, mm-hmm. is different in different places, but a big one, like you mentioned, the Horned King or the Holly King and the Oak King, those are both in more like of a neo-pagan cosmology mm-hmm. that I'm less familiar with. So if either of you want to jump in on that, that's cool.
To be honest, I hate the mythology of the Oak King and the Holly King. It doesn't make any sense. I get it, because mm-hmm. it's at the end of the sun or the return of the sun, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, with the mythology of the goddess, it doesn't match. It doesn't match the mythology. So I've always hated it. So for me, yeah, wintertime is like the king of the forest, the king of the animals, but in his darker winter form. So you know how you see the you know, the skull and horns and the robe, and mm-hmm. I guess he's cold, I don't know, but he's there and whatever, and he has, you know, insights about the darker mysteries and things like that. However, I will say for myself, whenever I like do a journey or meditation with him, he doesn't like have a lot to say, but he does show me things. He shows me things, and he'll like take me on a trip.
Yeah,
no pun intended. I don't do like all that. I don't do like mushrooms or anything on a shamanic journey. However, I don't have a judgment about it. I just don't have any. Just kidding.
Yeah, right.
working a lot with the Lakota community, we see those as spirit teachers. And so we can never do something without it being in a sacred place and things like that. You're going to say something.
Is there a like calendrical year sort of observance in the Lakota teachings?
Kind of. It's just like in paganism, it's very lunar. So they'll have things like, you know, they do honor the solstices and equinoxes and things like that. They honor like harvest and things like that. It also depends upon the region and the tribe, because like, for example, some Native American tribes are very agricultural. For others, more hunter-gatherers. So it's based on the migration of the animals, you know. So the weird thing about a lot of Native American tribes is because a lot of the teachings were destroyed.
Yeah.
I hate when people say, oh, they were forgotten. No, they were destroyed. And so they had to borrow from other tribes. And so you'll say like, oh, this is the song of the corn mother, or this is the song of the bear people and him, or whatever. And they share things back and forth. So sometimes it's confusing about who has what and where and things like that.
In the Mesoamerican belief system, there is the birth of Huitzilopochtli, and I was just thinking that the paradox, right? Because at this time of the year, we all see the meme that says, you know, the celebrating of the sun god or the birth of the god. And then it lists, right, like Mithras and Jesus and then all of the other ones that are born on this time of the year. And I always say, and with Tzilopochtli. But then at the same time, Native people keep telling us, and we keep learning from Native people, that those were not gods and goddesses. So that's my paradox. But the observance of the solstice, like you were saying, Chris, and the mythology behind it, because with Tzilopochtli means the left-handed hummingbird, the left-handed hummingbird, and is born of the earth, right? Is born of the mother. It's born of Tonatzin. But we know Tonatzin is the earth and is left-handed because it's coming from the further part on the east, so to the left. And I think it's fascinating that all that mythology translated into the, you know, is the hummingbird, is the left-handed bird with Tzilopochtli. But the attributes that are given to it, and I think this is more post-colonial than pre-colonialism, but either way, I think it's nice, you know, it's something that makes you reflect the qualities and attributes of resilience and discipline. And of course, all these post-colonial things have been written with the very, very misogynistic point of view, very patriarchal. But at the same way, I think it takes discipline, whether we like it or not, to survive the winter, you know, to survive the harsh conditions of the earth. And I can tell you, as much as I love having my dog, I hate walking my dog in the winter, especially when there's snow. And so the discipline part of it is like dress the dog and then dress yourself and then go out and fight with the snow outside and then come and then pick up whatever he does and then come back and undress and put everything to dry and then undress the dog. And, you know, as little as that might be, that's something that in the summer, I don't even have to think about it. There are times in the summer, I confess, that I just come out barefooted and let him in the tree right outside the house and we both come back. So if you will, you know, that little discipline of this is how I'm commuting with nature at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to wear my layers. I have to think about it. I cannot just go because I don't want to die. Not yet, anyway. So, you know, I have to be cautious and careful. And you all know me that I say when you live a magical life, everything you do is magic. So everything is related to the season. I, as much as I had my Wiccan training and I became a minister and all that, the solstices and the equinoxes, I like to call solstice and equinox. I love the mythology behind them. I love the stories. I love everything. But it's about the earth. And it's about the changes of the earth. And we can put whatever story on top of it. And it's going to be cute and nice. And it's going to talk to us on a deeper spiritual level. But it's about the earth. I'm such an earth witch. It's about the earth, you know. And it's about the changes of season. And because I didn't have that growing up. Because I grew up in Mexico, which is tropical, Mexico City. The coldest I ever felt was 40. 40 was the coldest I ever felt in Mexico. And you come to Chicago and it's minus 30 when we have the polar vortex. So it's like, what the heck? But I appreciate it very much, you know, because I never learned so much of the seasons until I came here. So just surviving is spiritual enough, in my opinion.
Laura, that essence, is that the flower prince?
No. The flower prince is, I forgot. I'll Google it, but no, that's not him.
Okay, but so then.
Xochipilli.
So then how would you describe Huitzilopochtli?
Huitzilopochtli is the left-handed bird, or the hummingbird that comes from the left side.
Okay.
And that is the mythology, you know, the earth.
Okay.
Tonatzin, the great mother, Coatlicue. Coatlicue is the earth. Coatlicue is the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Gives birth to Tonatzin, to, pardon me, who gives birth to Huitzilopochtli. And the modern scholars say, yeah, because when you look at the horizon, the sun is rising from the furthest part on the left. And then you have the whole nativity thing that intertwined with Catholicism post-colonial, where Coatlicue became Tonatzin, who became, or dear mother, who became the Virgin of Guadalupe, right? And then ergo Huitzilopochtli is God, Jesus. But then there's other part of the mythology that is very violent and filled with blood, because the conception comes from a different place. And the conception is that she was sweeping the floor and find a ball of feathers. And it was beautiful ball of feathers. So she put it on her bosom. And her children find out that now she's pregnant out of nowhere. And the moon, her daughter, and all her 400 sons and daughters, which is all the stars on the sky, are really, really mad because mama had a pregnancy out of nowhere. And then Huitzilopochtli is born as a warrior. So he's little, right? He's a little tiny sun god, but he is a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is born out of Coatlicue, he's born a full-fledged warrior. And the first thing that he does is first he cuts through the mother to come out, because he don't want the others to kill her, but then he bursts out of her, then kill her. And the first thing he does is kill the sister, because the sister is the one that instigated the whole thing. And the one that gets killed is the sister, is the moon. And he cuts her in pieces.
Yikes.
And that's why I can't remember her name, the moon goddess, is depicted with the limbs in little pieces. I will find her and I will show it to you. So metaphorically, what we're speaking about is Mother Earth. Coatlicue is the earth, the 400 sons and daughters. 400 is the word that was used to say a whole lot of them, which is the stars. And then I can't remember her name, the moon. And that tells you the whole story of the celestial bodies. And the Huitzilopochtli killer warrior that will obliterate her brothers and sisters, because when you have sunlight, you cannot see the stars.
Yeah.
And you can barely ever see the moon. And when you see the moon, you see it in pieces.
Mm.
She's cut off. It's fun. I love it. Of course, it's my culture, so I love it. But I think it's very violent. And that's where all the human sacrifices and all that kind of BS comes from. That, oh yeah, they used to kill people all the time. That's not true. But anyway, say something so I can find the little image.
Okay. So yeah, so it comes back to the earth, like you were saying. So in the, you know, down here we have flowers, we have rain, we have a lot of evergreens here. Great for smudging. You don't need sage from Walgreens. And then, you know, in other places, snow and ice. And so then we have like the snow queens and the snow goddesses, right? We have Mother Hull and the winter witch in Italy, La Venufa or Venafa or something. And so which then makes me think about the wild hunt and the fairy raids, right? Which is right now too. So one thing I know I'll try to do, which then I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit too, which makes me think of something that you've talked about to me, Chris, but the 12 days. The 12 days of Christmas, right? So, which sometimes is related to the Wild Hunt, you know, mm-hmm. So leaving offerings either to or apotropic, like to keep away the Wild Hunt, is something that's really common now. Yes. The moon disc.
So it's interesting because here, say something so the camera jumps on you.
Oh, yeah. She's been found. I found her. I had to go in the kitchen to find her. She's a coaster. So here you can see the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's one leg cut off the body. Here's the other leg cut off the body. The arm, the other arm, and the head. It's all cut off. And it's part of the legend. So, of course, think about the colonizers coming here and seeing this. Like, oh, my God, you worship the devil. No, dude, it's a metaphor that is speaking of the faces of the moon that is in pieces. But you know, the colonizers are gonna write what they're gonna write, and you know, aimed this like super violent story of humanity and creation. But nonetheless, we're talking about the solar system. We're talking about the birth of the sun and the sun. That is at its most weak on the winter solstice. And then eventually he will grow up, right? And is this great warrior with supposedly, but eventually Eve goes from a hummingbird into an eagle.
Mm.
And then, you know, the eagle, that the sun ray that comes down on the summer solstice, that is an eagle that, you know, comes and hits you with the claws. But yeah, that's the image that I wanted to show. So
that's awesome. So one of my favorite things about this time of year is the Wild Hunts, the fairy raids, the Ember Days, and the Wild Hunt comes from a northern Europe. And if you don't know, around it begins, some say Samhain, but it really isn't Samhain. It's more like the beginning of December all the way until the Epiphany in January. And it's where like spirits or Odin or growing up Neith or whoever. Some even say Diana, some say Holda will journey through the skies with the spirits of the dead and witches. And it said, if you hear their screams, that means they're coming for you. And they swoop you up and take you on the Wild Hunt in spirit form. That means you died. And it makes sense because, you know, in the winter time, a lot of older people die. A lot of people who are sick, they die. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's because of the dark. I'm like, no, it's because it's so freaking cold and your body can't sustain itself. And you don't have those healing energies of the sun and the earth and things like that. If you've ever thought about it, you can join the Wild Hunt. Remember how I said it was fun to like do a shamanic journey and like fly to the Sabbat? You can fly in the Wild Hunt, just do a guided meditation or a visualization, see yourself fly into the air and fly with the hunt. It's actually fun. It kind of feels like you're on a roller coaster if you're into that, but you're in spirits, so you won't fall, of course. My other favorite thing is the Ember Days, and in the heathen community, it's the time to speak with the fates or the three norns, because it makes sense. You're at the beginning of the brand new year, and it could be at the fates haven't decided how your year is going to be. So you may want to leave offerings for them and talk to them and petition them so that they put all the threads in the right places so you have a prosperous year, you have a joyous year, things like that. However, I've worked with the faiths for a long time. They rarely change their mind when they decide something. So get on their good side. however, you know, the fates, the Ember Days. Do you guys know why it's called the Ember Days? Because you really wanted to keep the embers going at the coldest part of the winter. So in some houses, there was a superstition that from a solstice until the Epiphany, you always had some type of fire or an at least the coals like glowing at least. Because it's that meant you kept the warmth and the prosperity and the goodness and the healing in your home at the darkest time. I mean, personally, in our day and age, we have heat, so we just leave the heat on. I'm not going to leave the fires in my house while I'm at work. But and if you think about about it, a few hundred years ago in the winter time, especially in the snowy areas, you didn't leave the house in the winter. You just stayed there and hope you had enough food to get you through. And if you didn't, you grab a bow and arrow and a big stick and you caught something, you know.
And that is the part that I wanted to arrive to. First of all, I'm not sorry for the infomercial. I'm teaching a class on New Year's magic. And yes, I'm going to pass you the link so you can buy the class. And Aaron, please don't yell at me. The class is only $25. Aaron yells at me because he thinks I should charge more. And I think I agree, but people barely face $25. So there you go. And why is Laura teaching a class on New Year magic? Because I just put the two together. Literally, at this minute, we don't have that harsh winter on Central South America and Mexico. Actually, from South America down, this is summer. Summer solstice. And in Mexico, where I come from, Mexico City, which is like on the bottom half of Mexico, we don't have those harsh winters. So that's why we don't have all these traditions that are about conserving the fire and all that. However, we have all of these traditions and superstitions about keeping good fortune. And the new year, and it just dawned on me, literally, because I've been saying for years now, hence the class, why aren't witches doing more prosperity spells during winter? And it has to do with, you're not thinking about money, you're thinking about surviving. So let's cross-pollinate, come to the class and learn how to do things to keep good fortune in your house. For the next year. And a lot of these things are done at midnight. And it's a very joyous occasion on families and all Latin America doing a whole lot of things. But if you don't want to, you know, be running around and doing all these things, if you're ever invited by a Mexican or South American person to a New Year's party, please go. You'll have the best time in the world because you will see us running around, literally running around, doing all these crazy things to bring good fortune into the new year. And one of them, which I think is very doable, and I think it kind of covers all your bases, because I'm thinking about the hearth and the fire and transferring that fire from one year to the other. Why don't you bake some lentils or bake some, not bake, I'm sorry, boil. Boil some lentils or some beans and literally have your pot going from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. That just occurred to me at this moment. But a lot of people do have lentils, which I think is very, very meaningful because, or rice, are particularly linked with prosperity, abundance, money, and protection as well. Black eyed peas as well. So, you know, have a little dish on your kitchen. You don't have to be cooking it if you don't want to, but, you know, have a little dish and then some other plethora of traditions that I'm going to talk about in the class. And somebody asked me if I was going to talk about Krampus, and I opened my big old mouth and I say, if you buy the ticket, I will talk about Krampus. And guess what? She bought the ticket. So now I'm going to be talking about Krampus as well there. But let me talk about Krampus here. I love Krampus, obviously. In case you follow me on Facebook, you know I'm obsessed. And I love the metaphorical aspect of Krampus and the fact that he got demonized after Christianity, but before Christianity by the native peoples of Indo-European cultures. It was more a spirit of winter, and it was kind of like a cautionary tale of, hey, the spirit of winter is going to get you, so don't go out when it's cold and he's going to get you. You know, there was no judgment. There was no good and evil. There was no, oh, yeah, because Saint Nicholas is going to bring you toys, so Krampus is going to bring you coal or caca or whatever. It was more like, there is a spirit. This is the spirit of winter. Don't go out. Or be very cautious if you go out because you're going to die. And when I came to the United States, literally all I knew is like, if you get snow on your feet, you're going to get frostbite and they're going to cut your toes. I see you laughing, you bitch. And my first winter, he's laughing because he knows the story. My very first winter, I got this high-toe gym shoes, ankle boot gym shoes. And my first winter was the blizzard of 1999. That was my very first winter. And I had to walk on the snow and I got snow on my shoes. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to get frostbite and have to cut my toes. And that was my first encounter with Krampus. So, you know, when you're not familiar with the conditions of the weather, because culturally you're from a different place, you know, there are so many different things that you can do to celebrate and to ride the wave of energy as the year ends and the new year enters. So I think that is wonderful. And when I say more witches should be doing magic on New Year's, Aaron, you were doing this. So I want to hear why.
Oh, just because it's a time of divination and intention setting, right? Yeah, that's gone back for, you know, in superstition and folk customs and stuff, like that's always been the case. So, yeah. Okay. So, well, the Krampus does remind me of an aspect of the Wild Hunt. And there were other dark like folk deities too, including Mother Holda, who we talked about before. And then her like Scandinavian counterparts, the Birkta and Perkta and stuff. And then, but what's interesting to me is, and I don't have any, I don't have any wisdom about this, but that a lot of times, like the Elfin King or Woden in his Wild Hunt, it was kind of filled with dread. And then the Dionic or La Bufana is more like the Santa Claus one, where like if he comes to your house or she comes to your house, like you're going to get blessings, you're going to get presents, you know, like stop here, please. And I always think that's really interesting because they're so similar and they take place at a different time. But there's this dichotomy between, are we going to get blessings or are you going to get killed, you know? And there is a little bit of like, there is a little bit of crossover with the Perkta and stuff. They're kind of scary. And then it also makes me think of the Lord of Misrule, which happened around now too. And when I think of the 12 days of Christmas, I also think of like specifically that week from the few days between Christian Christmas and our solar new year, reminding me of the story in the Egyptian calendar about how they had five extra days added to the year that were just like these, like, oh, these are just extra days. Anything could happen, you know? And again, a great time then to do some divination and setting goals for what's gonna be coming up. I had two other thoughts real quick too, which is just, so then also besides the solar, you know, the return of the sun, with Lord of Misrule, it's like the Saturnalia and the time of Saturn, you know, so there still is the dark days, limitation, death, and with Saturn, Capricorn, which is coming up, and this idea of I utilize and I achieve and having all these goals. But right before that, we have Sagittarius and exploration and wisdom and learning, and Jupiter, prosperity and abundance and things like that. So there are a lot of things to look at, depending on which way you want to go during the season, that might, you know, that might inspire you or aid your magic.
You know, I think that one of the things we, you know, as we close out the show, is I would like everyone to think about what I hate to say intention, because that sounds so like, you know, you're so right happy. Now, we're in the time of the dark, about what do you need to change, evolve, or go through for this next coming season? You know, what do we have? Like, what's our challenge? What's our goal? You know, for me, it's I'm gonna get through school. I am going to, I have a book coming out in February, I think. And like for me, it's a culmination of things. So what's your guys' intention or goals for this upcoming season?
Aaron. Sure. So I announced it the other day, but you know, it's been long in the coming, but I'm really excited to work on this little branch of traditional craft that I'm calling storybook witchcraft. And I'm working on a podcast to go along with that, which should be premiering maybe not by Yule, but maybe shortly after, maybe by Epiphany. I've got lots of studies going on. I finally finished the school program I was in, which is great. And so now I can start working on, you know, other studies that I want to do. But yeah, blending in some various interests together into a workable and recognizable practice and path for myself. And I guess I'll throw it in here, because this can also be my outro. I also have a couple guest spots coming up on the But a Song podcast, which is actually about musicals. And so for anyone who is interested in that, I don't have the dates that they're going to be released yet, but I'm talking about a couple different musicals with the But a Song podcast, and I'll drop those on my Facebook or somewhere at some point.
I have got to hear this.
That is awesome. Be careful where you wish for. I have to tell you the whole story. Last year, I said, This year, I'm writing a book. Because everybody keeps whispering me that I have to write a book, so I'm going to write a book. I did not write a book. life happens. But then, you know, in June, I got invited to write essays for three books. And I'm planning on probably, perhaps, maybe sometime write another book with my partner and friend, Christian. But in the meantime, one of them actually was published. So yes. I'm very, very happy.
What's it called? Share.
The Gorgon. What is it? The Gorgon. Oh, my God. I sent it to.
Is this the same compendium with like Laura Zinka? Okay. Yeah.
Laura Zinka. with Laura Tempest-Sakharov and all of the other ladies and people. Okay, here it is. The Gorgon's Guide to Magical Resistance. The Gorgon's Guide to Magical Resistance, published by Laura Tempest-Sakharov and a whole bunch of people. A sequel to The New Eredia that was published mm-hmm. in 2018. So again, be careful what you wish for, because in the middle of June, Aaron, you might remember, I was running around like a chicken with no head, trying to get on all these three publications. The other two, I haven't heard from. You know how these things move very, very slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm very happy that I finally let go of the training wheels and decided if I can speak English, I can write in English, I can do this. So I did it, and I'm very, very proud of myself. What I'm hoping that I can accomplish next year, literally, I want to, I did have a lot of very good experiences this year. I'm all about experiencing theater, musicals, plays, etc. So I want to be able to continue working a lot and making a whole lot of money, so I can continue exploring and enjoying all these wonderful things and be a little bit more active in my personal life. I work a lot, mea culpa, I'm a workaholic. So I need to find that balance and perhaps travel, who knows? but that's kind of vague enough. Let's see what happens.
So that sounds like some awesome goals and intentions and putting it forward and things like that. So we have come to the end of our show. And so this is the last show of our third season. We begin season 4 in January. How did that even happen? Season 4? What? And hopefully we'll have some good guests. We're putting out some feelers and emailing people and things like that. So I would like to wish everyone happy holidays, happy solstice, happy whatever you celebrate. And Laura, do you have any closing words?
Have yourself a very little Christmas. No, I'm not going to sing. Whatever you celebrate, remember that we're celebrating that we survived this winter, and not all of us survived the year. So if you have loved ones that are crossing or have crossed, honor them, remember them. And if you don't have family to celebrate with, create your own family, please, and have fun. That's cool. It.
Aaron,
thank you for letting me be a part of the season. The season of the show. It's been cool. But I've enjoyed it a lot, and it forces me to think about some things that sometimes I take for granted. So I really appreciate that. I've already said what's coming up. So find me if you'd like on Facebook at Freighter Aaron or on IG at Storybook Podcast. And see you next time.
All right. We'll see you guys soon.